to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We'll read verses 26 through verse 40. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, that is, back to Ethiopia, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he, the Ethiopian, said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, that is, Philip and the Ethiopian, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. What we read here is the record of the Lord saving the soul of a man in the desert of Gaza. He is known as the Ethiopian eunuch. The account is an example of whom Isaiah asked in Isaiah 53 and verse 1, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And we preach from that this morning. This man believed that report. This man had Christ revealed to him. Now, concerning this man, we read in verse 27 of his race, he was a man of Ethiopia. That is, he was a black man in the racial line of Ham. He was a eunuch. He was a eunuch. He was also a man of power. He was a man of influence. We read there in verse 27, he was of great authority. Under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He also held a very high office in his native land. We see again in verse 27, who had charge of all her treasure. So from that, we can gather that this was a man who was trusted to have charge of all the treasure of the queen. He was a man of integrity. What we read here in our text is the account of the Lord saving the soul of a black man in the desert. And in this passage, we find many truths. We find truths concerning the sovereignty of God in salvation. We find truths regarding salvation itself. There are truths concerning baptism. And we also have an example for you and I that are saved in the conduct of Philip. So what we want to preach on tonight is a stranger in the desert. We want to look at a couple of things. First of all, we want to see the providence of God in the salvation of this Ethiopian eunuch. And looking at the providence of God in this, in the salvation of this Ethiopian eunuch, hopefully we will go back in our own minds and realize God's providence in our own salvation. Now, it is declared in Psalm 3 and verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. This is a foundational and central truth. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It is a great and glorious truth. It's a gracious truth. It's an absolute truth. It's a humbling truth. It is a truth that satisfies. It is a truth that is taught and illustrated all through the Word of God. The salvation of this man is an example and is an illustration of salvation belongeth unto the Lord. We ought to rejoice tonight that salvation belongs unto God. We read in Romans 8, verse 29 and 30, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And it goes on to say, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Notice Romans 8, 28, that those who are called are referred to as the called according to his purpose. Each one of us that are saved, we're saved on purpose. We were saved with a purpose. We read in Romans 9 and verse 11 of the purpose of God according to election. We read in Ephesians 1 and verse 11 of those saved, it says, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So the scriptures teach that God's will, God's purpose, cannot be thwarted. Again, as we've said many times, if puny man can overthrow the purpose of God, then our God is not very great. God's purposes, God's will, cannot be thwarted. Proverbs 19 and verse 21, there are many devices. That is, there are many schemes, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. All of man's plans, all of man's schemings, all of man's devices, it is the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. We read in Isaiah 14 and verse 27, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed. Who shall disannul it? Who can overthrow? Who can alter the purpose of God? And his hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? In Isaiah 46 and 10, the Lord said, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Daniel 4, verse 35, he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. Now again, most folks don't have much problem with that. But it goes on to say, and among the inhabitants of the earth. God does His will in heaven. God does His will on earth. Now from these verses, and there's many more, but for time's sake, from these verses, we see from Romans 8 and Romans 9 that salvation is a God-ordained event. It is an event that God has purposed. And we see from these verses that God's purpose cannot be frustrated. God's purposes cannot be derailed. In other words, God works His plan. God has a plan, and He doeth all things according to the counsel of His will. God works His plan. God is always working His plan. I would not want it any other way. I would not want a God who does not have a plan. I would not want a God who is not able to work His plan. God has a plan, and God is working that plan, and that plan cannot be overthrown. Scriptures are very clear. And this is also seen in the saving of a soul. God is sovereign in the salvation of sinners. God orders and God directs, leading to the salvation of that sinner. And He initiates the entire process. This is clearly seen several places. It is clearly seen in the example of the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. In John 4, in verse 4, concerning Christ, it says He must needs go through Samaria. This was not a geographical necessity. This was necessitated by the fact that there was a chosen sinner there, and the ordained time had come for her to be saved. And therefore, Christ must needs go through Samaria. Another example is the salvation of the Philippian jailer. There was a jailer in Philippi. God had purposed to save this man's soul. And the preordained hour had come. And God in His plan had determined that Paul and Silas would be the human means that He would use in bringing about the salvation of this particular jailer. So God would have to cause Paul and Silas and the jailer to come together at one place. God led Paul and Silas to Philippi. And they knew absolutely nothing of this Philippian jailer. Nothing at all. And as they were preaching, God caused their paths to cross with a young, unmarried, demon-possessed woman. Notice, if you keep a mark there in Acts 8 and go to Acts 16, verses 16 through 19. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, which means a young unmarried woman, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And this led them to being turned over to a jailer. verses 23 and 24. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer. You see, God's brought them all to the same place. Only God can do that. This is an accident. And they charged the jailer to keep them, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And you know the rest of the story. God saved that jailer. But it was God, in His providence, working all things out, bringing Paul and Silas in contact with that jailer. Who would have thought? He also directed that young lady to Paul and Silas. She too was saved. She was freed from the demons. Salvation is according to God's plan. And God works His plan. Another example is in our text here, the Ethiopian eunuch. And we want to look at that. This man, in Acts chapter 8, God had determined to save. God also had determined that Philip would be the human means that He would use in saving this Ethiopian. So when God saved Philip, He had this Ethiopian in mind also. That's wonderful. Now Philip was a deacon in the church at Jerusalem. Acts chapter 6 tells us that. Now, Jerusalem, so Philip is in Jerusalem. This man lives in Ethiopia. That's 1,500 miles apart. Jerusalem and Ethiopia, approximately 1,500 miles apart. And these two, Philip and the Ethiopian, of course, were strangers to one another. They didn't know one another. Philip knew nothing of the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch knew nothing of Philip. But God had determined to save this man. And God had determined, again, that He would use Philip to preach the gospel to him. But they're 1,500 miles apart. This is not a problem with God. For God works His plan. God brought about, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, a great persecution against the church, which is in Jerusalem. God has a purpose for everything He does. So God brought about this persecution. And the God-ordained result was, verse, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. So the entire Jerusalem church is spread out because of this persecution. The only ones that remained in Jerusalem were the apostles. And we read in verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. We read in verse 5, our attention is directed to Philip. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, Samaria is about 35 miles from Jerusalem. Still a long way from Ethiopia. But while this persecution was going on, God put a desire in the heart of this Ethiopian eunuch to worship God at Jerusalem. God led and directed this man approximately 1,500 miles to Jerusalem. Notice verse 27. In verse 26, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all the treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So that was a long trip in a chariot. 1,500 miles to Jerusalem. And there were many dangers all along the way, and God protected this Ethiopian eunuch all through that 1,500 miles. No harm could come upon him. He would arrive safely in Jerusalem. You see, God again working all things. In the meantime, Philip is preaching in Samaria. We read of that in verses 6 through verse 23. And in reading those verses, we see that Samaria was a place of demonic activity, where demonic activity was very prevalent. We see that in verse 7. It was a place where the people were controlled by and enchanted with the demonic world. We see that in verse 9. And God was richly blessing in Samaria. Souls were being saved in Samaria. Now this Ethiopian has made his way to Jerusalem. But the Ethiopian, he's finished his worship at Jerusalem. And he's now on his way back home. And he's going through the desert of Gaza, which is about 70 miles from Samaria. So God has changed that 1,500 miles to 70. Philip's in Samaria. The Ethiopian is on his way back home, and he's passing through the desert. Now, to human reasoning, it does not make sense. Souls are being saved in populous Samaria, and Gaza is a very unpopulated desert place. But God called Philip to leave Samaria. Doesn't make sense to the human mind. Souls are being saved. Why would you want Philip to leave? Because there's a man, one man, out there in the desert. And God's working all things according to His plan. Now notice that God did not tell Philip the reason to go into Gaza. Notice verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south. That is, head south. Unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. You want me to leave a populous place like Samaria when souls are being saved and go to a desert? Certainly God is not in this, is the human reasoning. But that's not the case at all. It's not the case at all. But notice God did not tell Philip the reason to go to Gaza. He just said, Philip, head south. Head to Gaza. Unknown to Philip, God would have his path intersect with this Ethiopian eunuch. We read verse 28. This Ethiopian eunuch is returning. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. He's reading the book of Isaiah. What caused him? Again, this isn't a book like this. He's got a scroll. What caused him to read Isaiah? God. It's as simple as that. God. Perhaps, we don't know, but perhaps while he was in Jerusalem, while he was in the temple worshiping, perhaps someone stood up and read the book of Isaiah. We don't know. But we do know this. God caused him to read in the book of Isaiah. At that precise time, verse 29, Philip no doubt noticed the chariot And God instructed him to approach the chariot. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. God is telling Philip to approach the chariot of a complete stranger out in the desert. And as Philip approached the man in the chariot, he could hear him reading in the book of Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read. So the man's reading out loud. The man is sitting in his chariot and he's reading out loud the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked him a question. Understandest what thou readest? Doesn't know the man's name. Never seen him before. Do you understand what you read? Verse 31, the Ethiopian replies, how can I, except some man should guide me? And then he invites Philip. A complete stranger out in a desert place to sit with him in his chariot. Notice verse 31. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. These two men, who were some 1,500 miles apart, are now sitting together in a chariot, in a desert. How did it come about? All by the directing hand of God. So we see these two individuals sitting in this chariot. This is a black man. The gospel knows no racial bounds. We are told in verse 32 and 33 that the Ethiopian was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Why was he reading there? It's where God directed him to read. When God led Isaiah to see what he recorded in Isaiah 53, do you think he might have had this Ethiopian on his mind? I believe he did. When he caused Isaiah to write Isaiah chapter 53, I believe he had this Ethiopian eunuch in mind. Had us in mind also, because we read from it this morning. God brought to pass this Ethiopian eunuch having a copy of the book of Isaiah. How did this man get a copy of the book of Isaiah? Well, God worked that too. We don't know how. But when this man now has possession of the book of Isaiah, it was all of God. In verse 34, God had troubled the Ethiopian and put a desire in his heart to know what is Isaiah talking about. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who is Isaiah talking about in Isaiah 53? And he says, is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What a time they're having in that chariot. Philip preached Jesus from Isaiah 53 to a black man who was a stranger to him. And it's all been ordained by God. God's brought it all together. God had called Philip away from a great spiritual awakening in Samaria, where many people were being saved Why did he call him away? To preach to one black man out in the desert. God brought it all to pass. Again, the gospel knows no racial bounds. And God works all things according to his purpose. We read in verse 36, and as they went on their way, that is, a chariot is moving through that desert, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And in verse 37, we read Philip's answer. And Philip said, "If thou believest." Remember Isaiah 53:1, "Who hath believed our report?" This man's one of them. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is the Savior, Jesus. I believe He's Christ, that is the sent one from God, and I believe He is God," is what he's saying. God had saved this man's soul. And once again, the Bible doesn't tell us, but oh, what a time Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch were having. Never seen each other before. And now it's like they've known each other for 100 years. There is a bond. So he says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Here's one of them. Jesus Christ was revealed to this Ethiopian man. This man was saved by the grace of God. And notice verse 38. And he commanded, that is, Philip, the chariot to stand still. That is, as soon as this man declared, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Philip stood up and he said, "Stop the chariot! Stop the chariot! We're going to have a baptism." And then they both went down into the water. And there's truths here about baptism. There's no need for both of them to go into the water if we're talking about sprinkling. They both went into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, 1,500 miles apart. And now they're together in the water. They were together in the chariot. They're together in the water, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And what that means is Philip was sent to Azotus, there in verse 40. And the eunuch saw him no more. And what does it say? And he went on his way, rejoicing. Now we don't know. Everybody assumes that the Ethiopian eunuch went back home. You don't know that. You don't know that. But I know this. Wherever he went, he had joy. He went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because the Lord had saved his soul. So we see God working all this together. This wasn't an accident. This wasn't a by chance meeting between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. This was ordained of God. And we need to keep that in our own minds. When our paths cross with other people, don't overlook those kind of things. God works His plan. God works His plan. You may say, "Well, I don't even know that person." Philip didn't know the eunuch. And the eunuch didn't know him. That has nothing to do with anything. But notice some quick lessons from the person of Philip. And hopefully we can see in our own salvation, how God worked everything together. And we can look at our lives and we can see how God has worked everything together. But Philip is a good example here to you and I. First of all, Philip was a man who was in fellowship with God. He was sensitive to the voice of the Lord. He was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Notice Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, he told him to go south, head down toward Gaza. Philip heard the Lord speak. Philip obeyed. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, now he's in Gaza, go join thyself to this chariot. Notice verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. So Philip was a man who was living his life under the direction of the Spirit of God. He was a man who was very sensitive to the voice of the Lord, to the will of God. Philip was obedient to that voice. In verse 27, God has just told him, go down to the desert. Again, keep in mind, Philip's in Samaria. Things are going great. Souls are being saved. Philip is rejoicing. And God says, go to the desert. And it's amazing. And he arose and went. God didn't tell him why. And Philip didn't ask why. He arose and went. Philip was enjoying the rich blessings of God, and without any explanation from God, he arose and went. That's what we ought to do. God speaks, we are to respond. You say, well, God wouldn't move me from such and such place because everything's going well. Prove that by Scripture. There is no such evidence. In fact, we see just the opposite. You know, churches today, when they're calling a pastor, many of them say, well, we can't call so-and-so. He's happy where he is. What's that got to do with anything? That has nothing to do with anything. Philip was happy in Samaria, believe me. Souls were being saved. But God told him to go to the desert. He rose and went. That's trust in God. That's self-denial. I mean, there's not much out in the desert. There in the desert, he is instructed by God in verse 29 to go join himself with a stranger. And we read in verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him. This was eager, unquestioning, unhesitating obedience. So God's brought Philip to the desert. He sees that chariot, he sees the man on the chariot, and God says, go to the chariot. And Philip runs toward the chariot. That's an example to you and I. Eager obedience. Unhesitating obedience. Now we already saw that the Ethiopian was a man of authority. Philip, when he got to that chariot, no doubt could tell that he was a man of some importance. But Philip was not intimidated by this man's wealth or his authority. But he was ready to tell him about the Lord. Philip initiated the conversation by saying, understand this what thou readest. Do you understand what you read? Again, we already saw the man said, how can I except some man guide me? And Philip went, got up in his chariot, and he preached Jesus. He's bearing witness to this man. Isaiah 43:10 says, ye are my witnesses. Isaiah 43:12, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. That tells us what we're to bear witness of, that I am God. We're to bear witness of Him. His church in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And on we can go. We are to bear witness. We are to bear witness. A witness is someone who testifies for another. It is someone who tells what he knows. It is someone who tells what he has seen, what he has heard, and what he has experienced. And we are witnesses. We are witnesses of who God is. We are witnesses of what we have heard, what we have seen, and what we have experienced. Even if you don't know the Scriptures, if God has saved your soul, you can tell somebody what God has done for you. And Philip, without being intimidated, went and he preached Jesus to this man. Acts 4, verse 20, Peter and John said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." That ought to be true of us. And we can't help ourselves. People get excited about something, they talk. And they tell others. They tell others about business adventure, all kinds of stuff, vacations, all kinds of stuff. They get excited, they talk. God's people ought to do the same. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Paul instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't ever be ashamed to tell someone of the Lord. And we read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer." That was Philip. When Philip asked the man, "Do you understand what you read?" And the man said, "How can I? Would you come up here and explain it to me?" Philip was ready. Philip was ready to tell him about the Lord. Philip is our example. We need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We that are saved, God has put people into all of our lives that He has not put in others. You have people in your life that I do not have in mine, and vice versa. God leads our paths in different directions every day of the week. He causes our paths to cross with many individuals. And I cross paths with individuals that you do not cross paths with, and you cross paths with individuals that I do not cross paths with. Not everybody crossed the path of this Ethiopian eunuch, but Philip did, because God ordained it that way. So I've got to believe that when paths cross, knowing that God is always working His plan, that's not an accident. It's not an accident. And we need to tell the story of Jesus. We need to tell the story of Jesus. Philip didn't get in that chariot and talk to this man about the church in Jerusalem. That's not what he talked to him about. He talked to him about Jesus. Why? Because that's what he needed. That's what he needed. And you and I today, we come across individuals. Doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter what language they speak. We come across individuals and they need Jesus Christ. And God may cause our paths to cross with theirs. They may be complete strangers. But we are to be ready to tell them about Jesus Christ. So tell the story. Wherever we go, we're to tell the story. Tell the story to your family members. Well, they'll get mad. They might. They might not. But tell the story. It's not for you and I to determine what the results are. We're just to tell the story. To tell what the Lord has done for us. I am glad tonight that there are no accidents with God. And I am glad that God has a plan and God works His plan. God doesn't have a plan and then just turn it over to man. God has a plan and He works His plan. And God leads and directs. You think back on your life. The providence of God. Again, we read this phrase all through the Scriptures, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass. Things are always coming to pass. Who causes things to come to pass? God does. And how many times God has put people in our lives? God has put people in our lives, and God has blessed us in putting people into our lives. But we must realize that we are witnesses. And we have heard of Jesus Christ. We have seen Him. We have experienced Him. And they may need Jesus. And we're to tell them. We're to tell them. And that's what Philip did. What an example. And how glorious it is when God saves a soul, because it's God who does it. Salvation is of the Lord. I guarantee you here today that if you are saved, it was God who saved you. No one else did. That's the work of the Lord. And God brought all things to pass to cause you to hear the gospel. Someone told you the gospel. Whether it was through preaching or conversation, someone told you the gospel. And God ordains the human means. I don't believe it. Someone might say, well, what if Philip didn't go down to Gaza? That wasn't going to happen. Because God had already determined, Philip, you're going. Thy people, Psalm 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Why was Philip willing to go to Gaza? Because God was working on him too. God worked on the Ethiopian way back in Ethiopia. Put a desire in his heart, you know, I want to go to Jerusalem and worship. God works both ends. God works all ends and brings about salvation for His honor and for His glory. And He is to get all the honor, and He is to get all the glory. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.